Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Smarks and Stripes Podcast. We cover every bump, every spot, and chat with all the talent around the world of wrestling. Here's your host, Bill Matz, former WWE referee Kevin Keenan, and Eric Golden.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Smarks and Stripes. We have, let's call it, an explosive episode for you today because
Absolutely. We
kicked off the Wednesday Night Wars just last night. Hello, my name is Bill Matz. I am joined by Eric Turtle Golden. Man, all I have to say before we get into this, Turtle, if this is what Wednesday nights are going to be like, count me in.
Yeah.
That was fun.
The whole week's been fun so far.
Like, yeah.
It wasn't the best draw in the world. I know I texted our group chat and said, it's got to be the best draw ever. It wasn't the greatest draw ever, but it was entertaining for sure.
It was. I can foresee a world. I'm still looking forward to SmackDown on Friday.
With The Rock?
The idea that the shows are so split up now, like, I think makes them different. When you go from 3-hour Raw to 2-hour SmackDown 24 hours later, it's just like, all right, here we go again.
Yep.
Like, having that separation and then having Wednesdays in the middle, which are just so different, so much of a different presentation. Like, I'm really looking forward to that. But let's talk about these Wednesday Night Wars. I just want to do a hits and misses. I want to go segment by segment and see how it went.
Boil it down.
Let's lead it off with AEW's very first Dynamite. Pro Wrestling returns to TNT for the first time since Shane McMahon stole WCW out from under his dad.
That was, and I still remember that iconic shot of him at a beach or something.
Yeah, at Palm Springs
like,
or whatever.
Hey, Dad, here I am. Like, holy crap.
But, and they didn't shy away from it. They made, like, I really, to kick it off, I will say, I really liked the announced team. Ross has been up and down so far in his AEW tenure. Adding Tony Schiavone, I thought was perfect. Those two were master storytellers. Right into the first match, Cody versus Sammy Guevara. I thought they really, it was a good match. I liked it, but I thought the announced team, all three of them, Excalibur included, I thought did a good job of really telling the story of what was happening.
So let's start with the announced team, just standalone, before we get to the actual story. Love Tony Schiavone. JR is JR, sort of like the Jerry Lawler effect. You kind of just, you harken back to the wrestling of your young. And JR is going to make his mistakes because JR is a bit older, and that is what it is. I wasn't a big fan of Excalibur. He was fine.
He's kind of just the third wheel there now. Yeah. He's keeping things moving because Schiavone is going. He's going to do his thing, and Ross is going to. He's making all sorts of comments that are hilarious, JR.
Well, he dropped the shit.
Yeah, he dropped the holy shit, but he's just like making comments, and it's funny, but it seems like Excalibur is just there to keep the two old men moving along.
Like, it was very Dio Madden-ish, like from Raw, just to go back to that for half a second, but I enjoyed, because it was the first episode, I enjoyed them taking us back on the story.
Yeah.
Because you don't know Sammy really well, at least I don't, as a WWE hardcore fan. Maybe some indie fans do, but I don't know him that well. So hearing his story is fine. Seeing Cody was with the Penn State hoodie originally.
Yeah.
That's a little weird. Man, he's not a Penn State guy, is he?
No, he's...
It was a good story to tell. It was a great match. The main thing I got from the match, aside from the actual in-ring entertainment, which was great, did you see Cody's fireworks and entrance was like three times as great as the kickoff fireworks and entrance?
I did, because I remember seeing the initial fireworks to open the show. And since WWE just brought back fireworks,
exactly,
they were underwhelming.
Very. And then always see Cody.
Yeah, and then
like
Cody comes
three
out.
3 minutes worth of fireworks, rain, whatever.
I noticed the exact same. I was like, oh, that was kind of underwhelming. And like right after Raw just did, oh, Pyro's back, baby. And then Cody comes out. I was like, that should have opened the show.
I would have flip-flopped the two. I don't know why it got me, but you're right. It's just because Raw brought it back. Their new stage is pretty banging too, by the way.
It's cool. They're just so LED crazy. I just miss the old Titantron.
Oh, I agree.
I just miss the old. I love AEW set. I really like their look.
It's one of the things they're doing really, really well. But it's the match itself was great.
I can watch Cody work. The dude is just such a freaking natural. He's not Kenny Omega. He's not Seth Rollins. It's not like that. But just watching him do pro wrestling is awesome.
Absolutely.
He's so good at it.
I'll be honest, I expected not to like that match. I really did.
Sammy Guevara grew on me as the match went along. He's scrawny.
Yeah,
and we'll get to it at the end. Throughout this whole show, I'm just sitting there thinking, man, AEW just needs like a big hoss or two. Like they just, and then we get a reveal at the end, which we'll get to. But I was like, just something they really like. I don't mind you being short. Like I don't care if you're short.
Yeah,
but Guevara looks like he's 120 like, pounds.
There are a bunch of similarities with all of their talent so far. And listen, I read it somewhere that Cody said it's only like 80% of the roster's filled.
Yeah.
And clearly you can't do everything because everybody's going to have that video story telling up if you don't know who Sammy is or who all these other people are. So I get it, but they're very tiny.
Something I really like. So Cody comes away with the win, and they're telling the story like Cody's overlooking this guy. He's a young up-and-comer, and you know Cody's got the title match, so he might be overlooking it, and he doesn't want to get embarrassed. It's the first wrestling match on TNT since 2001. Doesn't want to blow that opportunity. He gets the win. Guevara comes up at the end and extends the hand for the handshake, and I am so freaking tired of handshakes. Yeah. I'm like, this crap. No, let's not be Ring of Honor. Can we just not be Ring of Honor? Yeah. That'd be great. And then we get we get the swerve. I'm like, yes, thank you. Jericho comes out, attacks. They start telling that story right away. All right, Cody overcame that first obstacle, and now it's Jericho Cody heading into full gear. I like getting into that right away.
And by the way, speaking of somebody who is not anymore, probably could stand to lose a few lbs. I don't know what's up with Jericho recently.
What is his look? I can't.
I don't get it.
It's like a cross between fading rock star and Randy the Ram from The Wrestler. It's just this. I can't even say I don't like it, but it's unique.
It's definitely different. He had the jacket, the lights jacket. I don't know. Like, listen, Jericho could talk on the mic for 3 days straight, and I would love it, and it'd be great.
And his match with Cody's going
to
kill it.
And it is, but aside from his look, his finisher to me is just odd and strange, too. But we'll get to that when we get to that.
He's doing a back
match.
Elbow. I don't get that. Yeah.
The Judas effect. Yeah, I mean, come on, dude. I get it. Just say you want to plug your band. Like, come on. That's
just
all it is.
Just do the Codebreaker or something, man.
Please.
So we move on to MJF versus Brandon Cutler. MJF, one of my favorite guys in this company. In its early tenure, a couple of my friends, like it was their first exposure really to AEW was last night, and they're texting me like, yo, MJF is like, yeah, man. Kevin's been telling us, I mean, since before AEW really even kicked off its pay-per-views and everything, he was telling us that MJF was a star in the making. And just coming to the ring, if you, not even his promo coming to the ring, just talking crap on everybody, which was great. But the thing I love about MJF is if you were to watch the show on mute and he were to walk down to the ring, you would know exactly who he is without hearing the announcers, without hearing him, without hearing anything. Just looking at him, you'd go, yes. And that's what a star is.
Yeah. And that's a great way to put it. I couldn't put my finger on. Like, in ring, he's fine.
He's fine.
Like,
he's good.
He's
yeah,
not
he's good.
Special. He's not doing 360 flips out of this and, like, all the Bucks are and all that. But the key in that match that sold me on him was his fake out of the suicide dive.
Yeah.
So he bounces and bounces. And you know what? Nope. F you fans. I don't have to do nothing. Pure heat, amazing.
And that's
he won me over with that alone. Match was fine.
That's the thing. Heels aren't supposed to do that stuff. We've gotten to the point where everyone just does everything, and that's what wrestling is now. But like, it's impossible for Rey Mysterio to be a bad guy because he does so much stuff. You're like, that's awesome. I love him. So how could you ever boo him?
Yeah.
Like MJ, like you're supposed to wrestle like The Miz. And like now that The Miz is a babyface, he does more cool stuff than he did when he was a heel. Like,
but
it was,
he is baby Miz. That's what he is. He's
it's that
arrogant SOB coming out that doesn't have to do anything.
It's
it was
that
great.
Amped up so much. It's like when The Rock comes out in his $2,000 shirt and just, you know, puts his sunglasses down or looks a certain way, puts his eyebrow up. You know what he is without hearing anything.
He absolutely won me over in that match. And now he'll have to prove it in ring over and over again because the match itself was just fine.
I got to talk.
Everything else was great by him.
Talking about presentation, Brandon Cutler, my man. You got to do something about that gear.
Wow.
It was brutal.
Yeah.
It was like create a wrestler, like bad. Like
WWE 2K20
like type generic,
stuff.
Generic, a Hardy, like you didn't have the Hardy Boys gear, so you like pieced it together. It was just bad.
I wasn't a fan of that.
It was like a...
It was my first introduction to him, too.
It was terrible.
As much as MJF won me over in that match, he didn't.
I think he was in NXT for a bit. He's just a guy.
He's just a random guy.
Yeah. We go from that to a very odd segment at ringside with Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes, Jay and Silent Bob. Their movie's coming out. I didn't have a chance to look it up. I assume
it's got to be Turner.
Some subsidiary of Turner is, you know, putting that thing out, and that's why they're there and they're co-branding. I think Kevin Smith was on Jericho's podcast this week.
Doesn't shock me.
Yeah, so I think Jericho's in the movie.
There you go.
They said that, so it's just a little cross-branding thing. I liked it. It was fun. It was awkward as hell.
Like that's two what James Isla Bob are.
Two guys who clearly aren't like adept at cutting live promos. It was really? Kevin Smith who's like, oh man, Chris Jericho plays a bad guy in my movie. I guess it's typecasting. Guy, it's suspension of disbelief. We're not talking about good guys and bad guys right now. But it was just fine.
It was fine. It was a nice little cutaway.
Cool crossover
segment.
Thing, and someone comes out. You just get a thing. But then we go to Hangman Page versus the Bastard Pack. Man, Adrian Neville's taken on a whole new persona since leaving WWE, and he's really good. Hangman Page, you and I have both said he's just not really doing it for me right now.
Yeah,
last night was the first time I was really captivated by like his in-ring performance, though.
I'm trying to think. Somebody on Twitter tweeted it last night, too. Like, what is like a mean cowboy? Like, he's a fine technical wrestler. I get it. But there's nothing that hooks me on. Like, at least with Pac, he completely changed, as you said.
Yeah.
Kudos to him for doing a complete flip in his character. But at least you know he has that I'm going to do 8,000 flips type of hook to him. Page is fine. I just don't get it.
Now that the TV show has finally started, like, this is kind of chapter one. We've had a lot of build up to now.
Yeah.
They've done a bunch of things. There have been, I think, 4 or 5 pay-per-views. But this is it now. Now it actually begins and they can start building these characters, because for anyone, like Hangman Page to me, most of his appeal is, oh, well, he's one of the elite guys, so he must be as good as Cody or the Bucks or Omega, and
just not.
I don't see that. Maybe
he's definitely an above average in-ring performer.
Yeah, I'm not knocking him. I just don't get what makes him
special.
Yeah, special to be a main eventer at this point.
Maybe he'll be that mid-card guy. Maybe he'll be that intercontinental champion, quote-unquote, level guy.
Yeah, and we'll, you know, maybe he could just wow us week two, and from there on, he's a freaking star.
Yeah,
I'm not
and
counting,
it's possible,
but
too.
This match was good. I like what they're doing with Pac. They're really pushing him.
Yeah.
And he's 2-0, I guess. He beat Omega. Now he's beat Hangman, so he's got a thing going with the Elite. I like what's going on here.
I just got to figure out, and this has nothing to do with that match in particular, more of Cody's overall, but like, if wins and losses mean something, why do Cody's 2 wins mean more than Pac's 2 wins?
That's a great question, because he did talk about, Cody talked about how it's kind of going to be like college football.
Yeah.
And so, like, quality of win is going to matter and that kind of thing, because it's going to be a power ranking more than a standings.
But that's fair.
Look at who Pac has beaten.
Yeah.
It's
supposedly
Kenny Omega,
two of your biggest guys.
It's Kenny Omega and Hangman Page, the two guys who could have been champion outside of Jericho.
Like, and if you look at who Cody has beaten, yeah. it's not been that quality of wrestler.
He went to a time limit draw with Darby Allin, who was on the dark matches but wasn't on the actual show. So, like, it's, I don't know.
My biggest fear with AEW going in, and it's sort of been realized, but I'm going to give them time to fully flush out what they want to do, is that just the five guys that essentially made this organization are just going to be champions, run roughshod over the entire roster all the time. And it's slowly beginning that way with Jericho being a champion. And by the way, I was wrong about, what's it called, Paige being the first champion when we said that originally. I don't get it, so that's fine.
Yeah.
But if it's just going to be champion versus champion versus champion versus champion all the time, it's going to get boring real quick.
They just need the time. My worry was they were going to burn through all the marquee matches too quick.
Correct.
But I think to start, there are only a few names that people know. So to start, you do just, like, Hogan comes into WCW, and they don't wait to Starrcade to get to right. Flair. They go, we're putting him with Flair right away because we need a return on investment right away.
Absolutely.
So I guess that's kind of what they're going to go
and
with.
And it'll take time. Believe me, I'm not knocking them right now. It's just,
yeah,
if Cody's wins weren't as good as Pac's wins, and they say wins matter, well, then power rankings-wise, Pac should be ahead of Cody, and Cody should not be in the title match. But that's beside the point.
So we get to the, they're going to crown the inaugural women's champion. They have Riho versus Nyla Rose, and your takeaway from this match was the exact same as mine, Turtle.
And that's all there was.
The belt was so small.
No, why?
Just looking when they showed the belt, because that it was the screenshot you put in the group.
Yeah.
The ref holding it up, it looked so tiny. I was like, well, there's no way Nyla Rose is winning, because where would she wear it?
It almost looks like they cheaped out on it. Like,
it seems like they ordered the wrong, like they clicked the wrong thing.
Yeah. I meant to click extra large and I clicked large or small,
yeah,
by mistake,
like,
whatever.
Yeah, but when you get the wrong, like you just didn't read, like, oh, this is actually actual size in the picture.
Yeah.
Like, they bought a figure, but like it just looked bad. This match took a while to get going, but I thought the second half of the match was excellent.
Yeah.
When they first started, I was like, how are they going to tell this story? Because, man, the size, it wasn't the normal size difference. It was like, wow, she's really little.
But here's the thing. I had no idea who these two were.
Yeah.
Like, not even a little bit. So they did a good job in my head of, like, explaining who the hell these two ladies are. And you're right. The second half of the match was much better than the first.
It was very good. Yeah. And that could just be the crowd kind of being in the same, you know what? I don't have the whole backstory on these two, so it takes me seeing them to actually get into them.
Yep.
And then Riho wins. She ends up being the inaugural AEW Women's Champion. Nyla Rose doesn't take it well, attacks her at the end, and here's where I have my very first booking issue with AEW. And it's a small thing, but We got to be fair, because I pick apart every little thing about WWE. And I don't want to judge AEW on that scale, because this is show one, not show 1300 or whatever.
But you have to.
Whatever
if
the hell
we're
on.
Being fair,
yeah,
we have
but
to.
Kenny Omega, who trained Riho, comes out to save her. The crowd's first look at Kenny Omega, especially considering the very next segment was his match. Crowd's first look at Kenny Omega, the big star, should have been his entrance with the Elite for the main event. It was just a little thing, but yeah. I was like, that's kind of, it makes the main event entrance not as big.
Yeah, that's fair.
You had just seen that guy, and now he's coming out again.
I agree.
And then we get to the main event. It's the Elite, it's the Bucks, and Kenny Omega versus Jericho, Santana, and Ortiz. I am a huge LAX mark, so I was just excited to see Santana and Ortiz. You knew they were going to get involved at some point after they got involved in the ladder match at All Out, and Jericho, I think, mentioned on his podcast he had filmed some stuff with them after All Out that hadn't aired yet, and then it ends up airing on that Countdown to AEW show. So basically, here we are. We have Jericho, and he's starting a little stable, it looks like. These guys have a match. It kind of devolves right away. We get, boom, first big surprise. Moxley comes out. Kenny Omega's getting ready for a dive to the outside. He's down on one knee. Moxley's behind him. Pretty cool stuff that we didn't get the Mox match with Omega, so we're continuing that story there. Their rivalry is going to be front and center at the first pay-per-view.
So, very cool, no doubt about it. I'm not the huge big John Moxley fan anyway, but that's not the point I'm trying to make here. Are we in a no DQ match? Or did
they
say
never
that?
Explained. I don't like. Maybe we got trios matches, six man tags, whatever they're calling them. There are no DQ. Maybe the ref was just like,
just say that. That's
yeah,
that's
they just. I didn't. Maybe I missed it, but you didn't hear it either.
Not that I missed.
I was like, all right, so we have a DQ finish to the final match. I know more is coming because I watched it afterwards, so I knew a little bit of the spoilers. But I'm just like, oh, this match is continuing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was my confusion. It was fine. Like,
yeah, I don't care. I just wish there had been an explanation.
As much as I wanted them to continue the story like I do WWE all the time.
Yeah.
Just tell me the story and why it's happening. Not, oh, he's just here, but the ref sees him.
Yeah,
and,
that's, it was, I don't want to call it Vince Russo, but it has such a, because that has such a negative connotation, but the criticism you hear of Russo all the time is like, people would go out, he'd have an idea, and they'd be like, all right, but the rules, bro, nobody cares about the rules!
Yeah. And like, you could easily explain it away, but like,
yeah, just like,
knocked
you
out,
got three announcers,
or whatever.
You got three announcers, just like JR, who would say stuff like this all the time. Oh, the ref's using discretion, doesn't want to,
easy enough.
Doesn't
exactly.
want to end the first AEW main event on a DQ, so he's going to let, like, okay, fine, yeah. I'll accept it.
Just tell
me one line of dialogue.
Exactly.
Or just tell me it's no, whatever. But then we get, it just turns into a big schmoz at the end. We get the big, I always call it the Nitro ending when it's just a huge brawl at the end because yep. It feels like every other episode of Nitro ended this way. I don't hate it because it was always entertaining and I liked this. But we get Sammy Guevara coming out. We get Cody Rhodes coming out. We get Dustin coming out. Jack Hager finally makes his debut as former Jack Swagger. And that was what I was getting to. They just need a guy like Swagger.
Yeah.
I forgot how over the Americans thing was.
Oh, it was way
with
over.
Swagger. They were chanting "We the People" at him.
See, here's
like
my problem.
The whole crowd was chanting "We the People."
Here's my problem with Swagger, Hager, whatever the hell his name is. I was more into "We the People" than him.
Yes.
Like, he's fine, I guess.
No, that was like the 10. Like, all right, is Sean Spears really over, or is Yelling 10 over?
Yelling 10's over, and he's fine, and he's talented enough, I guess, but in my head, like, as for a big reveal, I almost would have flipped the Moxley-Hager, like, interruptions. Like, let him come out and screw whatever over.
I guess it was just...
And then bring out the bigger guy in the end, rather than, this is your big... Boom, at the end.
Hager not being, like, people not knowing that he was good at, like, Moxley's in the company. We know that. So they're continuing a story there.
And I get it.
This
You're
is
right.
setting up. And Swagger had some good matches in WWE, and he had some freaking boring matches in WWE.
That's
think
my problem
with the level of talent and the way they're going to work in AEW, I expect his matches to be good. And... the stories he can tell, because he's so different from pretty much everyone on the roster, are going to be different. So I'm excited for the potential, but I'm not playing this off like they brought in Roman Reigns. They didn't.
I was definitely...
It's Jack Swagger.
I knew there was going to be some sort of surprise reveal, and like I said, I'm not a big Swagger fan.
Yeah, Swagger's prime also is when like I wasn't watching. Like
exactly.
When I came back in 2012 to watching, like... he was not what he was before that.
I guess I was just a bit disappointed in the reveal being him.
Yeah, okay.
Like, it could have been anybody
else. I've always liked Jack Swagger. I guess we're going to have to start calling him Jake Hager. But
no,
I always liked
Swagger
because of the DUI arrest he had, where he was so high that the cop wrote in the report, "I've never seen anyone so high." Like, and he was like, told him, "I'm so high, I can't." Like, he was he was bugging out when he got arrested for driving high.
Yeah.
It's just, listen, kids, don't drive under the influence.
Never.
But sometimes it can be funny. Well, not sometimes. This one instance. This one single instance, it was funny.
Just his reveal being that. And it was just fine. I was like, I just hope for somebody better. I don't even know who the hell I hope for.
Yeah.
Just I was like, I know they're going to bring somebody out to surprise us. Let it be somebody like, damn!
But then
that guy?
Yeah. Dustin, I thought it was funny that Cody, who had a match earlier in the night, came out in the full suit. And Dustin, who we don't know if he's there or not, comes out in full gear, including like I was like, why is he in his gear? Maybe he had a match on the dark portion of the match. I don't know.
Yeah, I have no
idea. But I doubt they're using him in dark matches. If I was them, I'd only use him at pay per views or something because he's an old freaking man.
Yeah.
But like, he's in his full gear and Cody's in a suit, and it was just funny. But I like the ending. I like okay, here are our stars, and then at the end, I like that the heels reign supreme at the end. We have Jericho, we have Santana, Ortiz. We have Hager and we have Guevara, and it looks like they're a little stable, maybe, and they're the bad guys, and I like that. I like that they're teaming up against the other, because if we're going to have the elite and we know who they are, and they are this group of guys who are running the company, and we like them all.
Yep.
All right, here's this other group of guys. We have the young up and comer. We have the Big Hoss. We have the Legend, and we have a tag team. That's a good stable.
Yeah, I'm in on that. I really am. The show itself was fine. It was a good debut show.
It was very good debut.
A few things I would have done differently. I love the turnbuckle cam that we saw a couple times.
Yes.
In that was pretty badass. I hated the women's title belt.
Ugh.
More than anything in the world.
I just have to believe they didn't. Like, it arrived in the mail and they're like, took it out of the box and we're like, oh, shit.
But like, you have Nyla Rose, you have Awesome Kong, like, come on, like, I'm not judging anybody by anything.
Kong puts that, but like, what's
Kong
gonna do with that belt?
Just bigger women, and that's okay to be a bigger woman, but like, put it on Nia Jax, it would look tiny. Nia Jax is just a big girl.
No, and that's like, I don't like when it's not nearly as, condescending as like the butterfly title was.
Well, yeah,
but it's in the same realm.
Oh yeah,
like we have this dainty little.
It looks novelty.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want the title to look novelty. I want it to look special. And unfortunately, that was my main takeaway. Aside from the show just being good, that was my main takeaway.
But,
I was like, really? You couldn't spend $10 more and get the bigger size?
For week one, I would say they knocked it pretty much out of the park.
Yep.
There weren't any sort of technical difficulties, any of the live TV issues that can come with something. It definitely looked like a good professional broadcast, and JR made a point of it. Man, I did miss TV 14. I just want it to be a little less sanitary. Like, watching Raw and SmackDown every week, listen, they are what they are, and clearly it works because they signed a billion-dollar TV deal, but I just like it being a little bit more adult-oriented, and it was, and I liked it.
I wasn't, just to throw the Moxley thing in there one more time, I don't know, like, I was never a big fan of his in WWE. He's fine, entertaining enough, whatever. If he's just there to essentially mutilate himself by doing all this dumb stuff, I'm not going to like him even more.
That bump was hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, he never does the double arm DDT like that.
Right.
Like, he never does.
It's never
lifts.
It's like a
it's always
mix of that and a glorious
DDT. Yeah, it's
DDT.
Just always just a drop DDT, but he does the lift onto the glass table. And I was like, wait, what's he? When he lifted him, I was like, maybe he's just going to like suplex
That's
him.
That's what I thought it was going
to
be.
And then he just went back with it. I was like, that doesn't seem to make any sense, but he wants to be Mick Foley, man. He wants to do death matches.
Crazy shit.
That's what he wants to do.
I will definitely lose a bit of wrestling respect for him.
If they get War Games back like Cody does, he's coming off the top of the damn thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, that's gonna happen. See, Cody wants to buy back War Games.
Hey.
I wonder if they'd sell it to him.
You never know. They're evidently, per him, they're not holding Cody Rhodes, the name, hostage.
I like that he said they're not holding it hostage, so just not one of these things like he could have taken a shot and didn't. I appreciate that because that's going to get old. I like that it's a war and everything.
Absolutely.
But it's just going to get old if WWE's evil. Like, man, we know. We know Vince is a freaking oil baron. Like, you know, I don't got to be told. But I don't. I like that he said I could be Cody Rhodes if I wanted to. I thought that.
I mean,
was cool.
I think they have a bit of respect for him because of his father.
Absolutely,
I would hope because of him too. But
they tried to hire him
because
back
because of his father.
Like before AEW launched, they tried to give him a contract, and he was like, "Nah, I'm kind of doing this thing now." Because I always thought it was a work the whole time when he left. I thought he was coming back, and then this happened. And now there's a brand
new. In the grand scheme of things, there's going to be a time where Vince McMahon is just going to buy AEW, and that's going to happen. I'm almost going to guarantee it.
The cons got money.
Oh, so they, of course they do. But there's going to be a time where they're just over it. There's no way Tony Khan is Vince McMahon, Shane McMahon light. I just don't believe that yet. Maybe he is. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm always wrong about things. But it'll be in one company at some point. But that's not the point.
So
good opening show.
Over on the other channel, we have the full two-hour debut after 2 weeks of a soft open, as you and I were calling it.
Absolutely.
We have the full, and it was, because those were not television premiere-worthy shows. They were fine, but like...
It wasn't, oh my God, we're like, on USA type shows.
Yeah, the first episode on USA, they booked backwards. Like, the hour that was on the WWE Network, far superior to the hour. But now we finally got the two-hour premiere on USA of NXT. And, man, right off the bat, they started off with the NXT Championship match. I have to ask you about this. The decision to go with Cole versus Matt Riddle first. Clearly a way to try to win the first quarter hour, first half hour of ratings. They delivered. Those kind of matches are hit or miss for me. I get that the athleticism on display, absolutely freaking incredible. Sometimes I get annoyed with, like, oh, a desperation recovery, and then another desperation recovery, and then another, oh, he kicked him in the head, and then he kicked him in the head. I get annoyed with it sometimes. I thought those two did it as well as I've seen it done last night.
I'm trying to decide where I stand on Matt Riddle.
He's grown on me, so I love Matt Riddle now. I didn't at first.
Love. He's very entertaining. He's very good in the ring. I don't know that I love the bro... character.
It just fits. Like, he
fits
him so good. Like, he just nails it.
It just doesn't do anything for me as a wrestling fan. Technically, he's freaking amazing. Adam Cole, very, very good. I just don't know that he does anything for me as a character yet, but the match itself was good.
It
really was.
I thought they freaking killed it. I thought it was probably the best match of the night between the two shows. And then...
Yeah, I'll give you that.
I really, really liked the Cody match. Like, I did. I thought this they knocked this out of the park.
It's two A's up against each other in NXT, and an A, and no disrespect to Sammy, but at least as of this moment, an A and a C+.
Yeah. No, it's these are two of the biggest stars in NXT.
Yeah.
And Adam Cole, like, he's one of the biggest stars outside of actual WWE, Raw and SmackDown. He's one of the biggest stars in all of wrestling.
I might actually give him with Raw and SmackDown included right now.
And Matt Riddle, he was an MMA star. He's got name recognition. He plays his character. He's great in the ring. I just thought they killed it. But then, after this awesome match, the big reveal, Finn Balor is NXT. Man, as soon as he comes out in NXT, I like him again.
Yeah.
He just works there. It just fits.
Because that's where he became That's who he is.
That's who Finn Balor is. Prince Devitt is a different thing.
Yes.
Finn Balor, he was the last of the NXT to me. Like, that was my favorite era of NXT.
Yes.
Like, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Finn Balor. That was my favorite thing.
I was hoping, and obviously it's SmackDown, still Kevin Owens. I mean, people get fired, who the hell knows, but that's not what we're talking about right now. I was hoping that when Kevin Owens tweeted out the date, which was yesterday, it was going to be him as that big reveal. Because I think Kevin Owens can carry a show. But again, we'll get to Kevin Owens in a second. But seeing it was Finn Balor, seeing their reaction, seeing his in NXT version of the entrance almost works better than seeing the entire arena throw their hands up when the lights come on and do the thing. It almost works better in a small space.
That's one of the things I saw. I think it was the which dirt sheet was I reading this morning? I think it was .net, prowrestling.net, which is one of the sites I actually like. But they compared the two shows, and one of the hits for AEW on I think it's Jason Powell runs that site. He said, like, AEW running arenas while NXT is in that space in Full Sail definitely gives AEW more of a like an A show feel, and I don't disagree, but I also just love Full Sail so much.
Yeah.
I think it plays, and like Raw and SmackDown do exist, so NXT is this other thing to me. I like it in the small space. I like it in the intimate setting, and like in the big arena when Finn does his entrance, it's just whatever. It looked like, to me, especially like after the segment, they're doing it along with them, the crowd, and it just looked like these are disciples of his.
Yes.
Like they are followers of Finn Balor. It just looked so cool to me.
And it's weird because I always say, and I've said it many times on this podcast, that I dislike Impact for it being that small, intimate type stadium.
Well, they're at a sound stage and it's empty. Like,
exactly.
That's the difference.
NXT fills up their version of a sound stage or their arena, whatever the hell you want to call Full Sail, and it just works. It just does.
Yeah, I love Full Sail. I thought the crowd really brought it, because one of the first notes I made about AEW, there was a constant sound. There was constant crowd noise, and yep. Like the people at the show were really into the show. You know who's making noise at a WWE show? People who aren't into it. It's people chanting for CM Punk or Foreign Objects, Spanish announce table,
yep.
Like whatever. It's like people who want to disrupt the show because they're unhappy with it. And then that it carried over the Full Sail crowd, brought it as well. So I was
absolutely
happy with that. We get... I guess we'll fast forward here. Well, we'll just go. Baszler versus Candice LeRae. I like both of these. It was a good match. I just knew, like, it just didn't feel like it was gonna happen. Like, a title change just didn't seem like it was in the cards last night.
I don't know where they're going with Shayna Baszler. I just don't.
Yeah, she's just murdered everybody now. Like,
and unless they have some big surprise, I don't know what they're trying to accomplish, unless it's just another Asuka-type situation, and she just wins for 5 years straight.
That's
okay, bye.
There's always, to me, been one path for Baszler, and it was Ronda Rousey, and Ronda's not around anymore.
No, except on Total Divas.
Yeah, except Total Divas.
Weird.
But, like, I just don't... Is she just going to be women's champ forever? I don't necessarily hate it,
but
is
that
just what she is?
Because then you're crushing every other women's star there is. Like, Candice LeRae is entertaining. I think her and Johnny will be called up, quote-unquote, probably within the next year or so. And she'll be good there. I think she really will. She's a bit shorter, but that's beside the point. I just don't know where they're going with Shayna Baszler.
Yeah,
unless one of her friends is going to turn on her, who does it.
Do either of them ever wrestle? I feel like I've seen one match with them total.
Not that I've seen.
They have an interesting look. They look like they could whoop some ass, but they just kind of follow Shayna around. I don't know.
Maybe they're taking it to the four horsewoman thing. Maybe that's what's coming in WrestleMania whenever Ronda's fully healthy or whatever. But it was a good match. It just every time I see her, she just crushes the next female talent they put her with, and that's that.
Yeah, we move on to Io Shirai versus Mia Yim. I like both of these women, but again, like, they've both lost, I believe, to Baszler.
Yeah.
So where are we going?
Yeah, it's
just
another number one contender.
Yeah.
Like, Io Shirai is fun. I like when she flips off all the ropes and all that.
Yeah, they're both really good. Like, it was a fine match.
It's just the problem with their women's division is when you literally dominate everyone. Okay.
So she
got dominated. Io Shirai, you got dominated by Baszler once. Oh, she's come back again? Okay.
We go to the Velveteen promo. Velveteen is like my favorite wrestler
in the
business. He cut that line. I've never had a problem taking on two guys before. Like, so freaking good. Oh my, he's just incredible. He's one of the absolute guy with the most star power potential in the company might be him.
When you see where he came from, is Patrick Clark or something like that?
Yeah.
From Tough Enough. Like, I actually went back and rewatched a bit of Tough Enough just because I was bored one day. I was like, oh, yeah. Like, he's on this version. And then he got eliminated, maybe through or something. I don't know. But to see where he was from then, because he was super talented then, to all of a sudden back and in this brand new persona of just Dusty Rhodes, Hulk Hogan, everything combo, he can be it. Like, I could picture a Fiend versus Dream segment down the line.
Oh my god, just the craziest stuff that ever existed.
Like, it would
just
be
the absolute most ridiculous
stuff that could ever be. Freddy Krueger in his dreams type stuff going on. Like,
yes,
I could picture this down the line, and I don't know. He might be the next big star this company has.
These other two matches before we get to the main event, I thought, like, on a normal night, either of these would have been great show opening matches. Like, Johnny Gargano, he's Mr. NXT. That, to me, he should have had the first match.
Yep.
But I get what you're trying to do with Riddle and Cole in the opening segment. And you're setting up two different returns, so you're trying to space them out, and they're both about revolve around Adam Cole, so it's all fine. But yeah, Pete Dunne versus Danny Burch, good, fine, cool. I like both of them. It was what it was. Gargano and Shane Thorne, to me, that should have been the opener, if not for, hey, we got to beat that first quarter hour.
Exactly.
We got to beat AEW. Gargano, I feel like he's not being positioned yet as high. He's just coming off of the big feud for the title, so I get it. But it seems like we're starting over because we're on TV now. I feel like Gargano should be higher up on the card.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't know exactly what they have plans for the North American title right now, but I could see him back in that ladder of success, hopefully, maybe. I could see him back in for Goldie, as we'll get to in a minute, too. He is a better version of Chad Gable right now.
Yeah.
A babyface-ish, really talented freaking wrestler. He needs to be built. He needs to be more there with them.
Yeah.
And that's on them, not him.
Then we get to the main event, Street Profits versus Undisputed, O'Reilly and Fish. They tore the house down, but the big story to come out of this, we got a second return. Tommaso Ciampa is back, and he is looking at Adam Cole's NXT Championship. Man, for a to kick off, okay, this is where we're going with this story, because Finn Balor coming back, that's huge. But Ciampa, when he got hurt and had to forfeit the title,
it was pretty devastating, like, for a lot of people there.
It was 2 years of storyline. Like, the Gargano and Ciampa thing had been going on for 2 years, and he got hurt for a second time, and it kind of just crushed that. I was like, if they were to start Gargano and Ciampa from scratch, like, bring them out as DIY, and, like, obviously that's not what they're doing, but if now that they're on TV and getting all this new exposure, if they were to start from the very beginning and do the whole thing over again,
fun.
I would not hate it.
No.
I would be so on board with that. But
that would be a
Ciampa
lot of fun.
Coming out and basically getting himself right involved in the championship mix right where he left off. A big reveal at the end. I thought it was, you said for AEW, the Moxley and Hager reveals were backwards. I love Ciampa. I'm wearing a Tommaso Ciampa shirt right now. He's one of my favorite wrestlers in the business. It seems like Balor is a bigger deal, though. Like, should it have been the other way?
Or is he?
That's
a great question.
Yeah. Is he at this point?
I don't know that he is at this point.
Because that's crazy to think he's not. But he might not be. Being on NXT is a big deal because he's been a main roster guy.
Yes.
Like, Ciampa has been up for, what, one tag match or two tag matches when they were just, oh, hey, it's a brand split, but not really. Here's NXT guys.
But now they're telling us that NXT is their own brand.
Yeah.
Triple H did a whole bunch of media at the Performance Center. NXT is no longer minor leagues.
Yep.
So him being there shouldn't have us looking at it as a demotion.
Yeah.
It just shouldn't. But it kind of does still. It just really does.
Yeah. It feels that until NXT really starts to progress and what their show is, like, it's a two-hour show for the first time, you know?
Yeah.
Like, until it becomes not the developmental territory perception-wise, it's the developmental territory.
Now, here's where the question comes. The draft is coming up, what, in 2 weeks?
I was just about to
next
ask
week,
you the
something
thing.
Like that. Do they get picks
is
now?
Is it an NXT draft? Is it a three-way draft? I was wondering the same thing.
And they're going to split it up. Some picks on Raw, some picks on SmackDown, blah, 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 blah. I would cancel all that bullshit. Just put a two-hour special on the damn network. Have three damn general managers up there. Just pick the damn thing. It'd be so much more fun
than
doing it.
They should do it, like, because, like, the whole idea started with, hey, look at these ratings the NFL gets for its effing draft.
Yeah.
We should do something like that. And then do something like, they don't do the draft in the middle of the Super Bowl. Like, they
do. Draft and then a match and a draft and then a match.
They just do the draft. Like, I agree, it should be on the network or on something
wherever.
As its own
put
special.
Put it on some channel, do a special, give us a draft. But they should get their own picks.
Yeah.
And if that's the case,
I wonder,
is everybody open now? Like,
that's.
Vacate every title. Every freaking title.
What if they were to just go like, hey, season premiere, everything's brand new. We are
everything.
We are racing the record books.
You could even give us Fiend Seth for the damn Universal title, but it's vacated. Neither one has it.
Yeah.
Start freaking fresh. Because that way you at least think that Adam Cole could get quote-unquote called up. You think that Velveteen Dream could get called up. You think that The Fiend or Seth Rollins could go to NXT. Whatever.
I wonder. It's very. We're going to get some questions answered on SmackDown. Yeah. There's a
and if
lot
they're not
of
involved in the draft, then are they? How are they still the next brand? How are they not developmental?
Yeah, there's this other thing over here. Like, yeah, it's gonna be very odd. It's gonna be interesting to see how they position all this.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to SmackDown.
Well, I mean, and The Rock's coming back, but that's
well,
just
yeah,
no big
of course.
Deal.
So first night, Wednesday Night Wars. Who won night one?
Strictly, and I mean strictly, for it being new and different, AEW won night one. But that's the only reason.
I think AEW, man, like the NXT the whole time, I'm thinking, like, other than that first match, which was incredible, I'm thinking, like, there wasn't a thing that tied this together.
Right.
And then we have the final match, which ties to the first one, and then that's exactly like AEW was, so it worked. But I'm going to give it to AEW. I just had more fun watching AEW this week.
I
and
think
it
I
was
more excited for it.
Yes. No matter what, like, we both love the... I was thinking about this. Like, we both love The Fiend. The Fiend is the best thing in wrestling right
by
now.
By least
in any company, MLW... NWA, New Japan, whatever. I don't care. The Fiend is the best thing in pro wrestling right now.
Absolutely.
In the back of your mind, don't you just know they're going to ruin it somehow?
Oh, absolutely.
There's not that with it. There's no negativity to draw on with AEW.
Yep.
In a month, that could change.
Oh, yeah, they're winning.
Like, you know, it could be like, well, they're just going to keep doing this damn same thing. But that doesn't exist yet. So the potential for everything is just that. I don't think, well, this is what I would do, so I know it's going to suck because they're going to do this. That doesn't exist yet, and that's definitely creeping in when I'm watching certain things.
Yeah. You're not wrong even a little bit there. I know,
like,
they're going to screw up my favorite character.
Yeah, like,
probably
Seth Rollins is going to go over clean at Hell in a Cell, and we're going to be back where we started from.
I have little hair on my head right now. If Seth Rollins goes over clean, if Seth Rollins goes over dirty, if Seth Rollins has the damn belt after Sunday night, I'm going to be so furious.
I mean, like,
with
if
WWE,
The Fiend just sets the building on fire and there's no end to the match, then I'll be
that
okay.
That would be better.
I'll be okay with that. But yeah, like,
they better have a no decision before Seth Rollins
yes,
wins the damn 100%.
Belt clean. Yeah. If this match ends in some sort of no, like, they both stab each other to death and it's like, okay, fine.
That's better than
like,
Seth Rollins winning
yeah,
clean.
Like, yeah. No, I agree. But in the back of your mind, aren't you just like,
Seth Rollins is going to win clean?
Curb stomp 1-2-3. The Fiend is just Bray Wyatt all over again. and that because of that, like AEW
won. Yep.
Yeah, that's where we
but
are.
What's weird is I don't have that feeling about NXT.
I don't.
But because of that feeling in WWE.
Yes, because it's
AEW
still
won.
WWE. They're going to do something I freaking hate. Like, they just are. I know it.
Now I'm scared to watch Hell in a Cell this weekend.
Oh, I know.
I'm so scared right now.
It's just like they rush the thing so, like, Fiend should not yet be in a title match, but he is, so he has to win. Because
yeah.
He can't lose. Well,
you can't have Seth Rollins in freaking tears, essentially.
Yeah, like, scared to death,
multiple
pissing
times,
himself.
And all of a sudden, go, I prevailed and conquered. No.
No.
This guy is your best character, probably since the debut of The Undertaker.
Yes. And, like,
do not ruin him, please,
you know,
Vince.
What they did? Like, I was thinking about that. Like, Taker debuted at Survivor Series 1990. He got his title shot at Survivor Series 1991. And he won! Like, he beat Hulk Hogan, but it took a year to get... And I know, like, that's not the way the world works anymore. Nothing takes a year anymore, but it should have been a little longer.
I don't even... I mean, maybe you're right. And I don't even feel like they rushed it. I just feel like they're going to WWE it.
Yeah.
And I will prevail and conquer and succeed and blah, blah, like, Seth Rollins is freaking entertaining. He is.
But
I am so over Seth Rollins right now.
He's a heel, but they don't have baby faces, so he has to be a baby face.
He is so much better when he was stabbing friends in the back.
Oh my God. His first title run when he blew out his knee, like, that killed me because he was just starting to nail being that guy, and then it was over.
Well, they have zero baby faces.
Yeah,
zero.
They just have no baby faces.
You destroyed Braun Strowman for the 8,000th
time. It's a company of a-holes, and they're all like, all of our all of our personalities are heel. So we all have to be heels. And but there is like one great babyface, and we're going to wrap this up. I just want to get your take on this real fast, because it's our next show will be after Friday Night SmackDown, where Kofi's going to lose the title to Brock Lesnar.
Absolutely.
God, man, I feel bad for Kofi. Like, he had his WrestleMania moment, yeah. He had his run, and I get it. Like, SmackDown is, he was champ of the B-show, and now it's no longer the B-show, so we're putting the title on Brock. I get it. Everyone's obsessed with Brock. Man, I hate for it to just end like that. Yeah. Like, Kofi's setting up this epic run, and then... Yeah,
I'm
we're
sorry,
on Fox now, and they
TV
went Brock.
Bye.
Yeah, it's just a shame. I feel bad for
him. I do. But not to even be rude to Kofi, I'm kind of over Kofi, too.
Like, I just...
I guess I don't watch enough SmackDown consistently enough to see what he's been doing and see how he's progressing, but...
I wanted it to last... I wanted Big E to turn.
Yes.
That's what...
And maybe he still will.
Maybe he will.
Can you imagine a Brock Big E faction? Like, these just two big mamma jammas just running all over everybody?
That would be interesting. That would be interesting. Like, my God.
I'm not even... Listen, just one more Brock thing. I was thrilled with how the Rey Mysterio thing played out. And Dominic...
Oh,
and
my
I guess,
God!
Whatever.
I finally got it! Dominic took a beating!
But... why? Like, why?
Because I don't care.
Even,
I don't
no,
care why.
Like, but there's gotta be a why.
I don't care
just
why.
Brock comes out
because
and beats up the
Dominic
small guy just for the sake
it.
Of being
Dominic
small guy.
Deserves it.
I was all about it.
I hate and him. I don't know why
he
I
took
hate
that
him.
That German
I...
like a pro.
Oh
too.
My God, that
good
was a great job. He did. Now, we both made fun of that Cage Side Seats article that was, he put over Brock better than anyone. I'm like, okay, well, The Undertaker put him over, so.
Yes.
No, he didn't.
But he's up on that list.
No, he definitely, like, he took the moves great, and, like, he looked like he was in danger when he almost dropped him and then picked him back up and ran him into the ring post. He looked like he was in danger.
Yeah.
Like, he looked like he was in
but
physical danger.
But just give me
danger.
A why. Like, come on. Yeah. Don't make it
because
so
Brock is a because Brock is a cold-blooded killer. That's why.
It's fine, but...
SmackDown, I was just thinking last night, like, thinking about what SmackDown could be now. It's on Fox. They gave him $1 billion. So whatever Fox wants, Fox is going to get.
The Rock's...
Yeah, The Rock's
back, so
coming back. Stone Cold's going to be there. Brock Lesnar's going to be champ. Like, this is going to be...
That means Brock's got to be there.
I can foresee a world where I am keeping up with Raw, like, through the dirt sheets and on Twitter.
And watching SmackDown?
And, like, yeah, SmackDown and Wednesdays are where I really watch wrestling. Yeah. I can foresee that world, and I never thought in my wrestling-watching life Raw wouldn't be the number one priority.
But it's not the number one priority anymore.
It is so not the number... Like, that's if Fiend loses clean on Sunday, I might not watch Raw on Monday. I'll have to do this show pretending I saw it.
Can the Fiend move to SmackDown? Because if he does that, I'll watch only SmackDown.
Yeah, no, I was thinking...
That's the only reason for me to watch Raw. It's Firefly, Funhouse, and Fiend.
The thing keeping me on Raw is Bray Wyatt. Yeah. And if he's not on Raw, I wouldn't watch Raw.
No.
Yeah. So, yeah, if he were to go to SmackDown or something, I would probably watch way less Raw.
And like, I would
if I had a Monday off, which is rare, because like I work Mondays, I might... It's going to be on my DVR, but I'm not going to get around to it as often.
No, yeah, I'll fly through it.
Yeah. All right, I think we nailed everything, Turtle. That's the world of wrestling this week.
Wednesday Night Wars.
Yeah, Wednesday Night Wars are here. Watch them both. Enjoy
them
both.
Do it.
I am making a point to watch AEW first, though. I know, I have Hulu, so I don't even count in the cable ratings, but I'm watching AEW first.
I think it will vary week to week. I'm going to watch both, regardless.
Oh, yeah, I'm watching both.
It'll vary week to week depending on the matchups, but at least for the first month or so, AEW's got my attention.
Yeah, that's. I wanted to ask who you thought won. I thought AEW won the first, but you know who really wins? Us.
Absolutely.
Wrestling freaking, like, being a wrestling fan is good again, and it was bad for a while. It's good again.
It's not only good again, it hooks so many people who haven't been into it.
I'm excited to see this rating.
Like, I literally turned it on for not 30 seconds. I did some wedding nonsense last night, so we had TVs on mute. Like, I started it late, turned it on. My fiance, not a wrestling fan, starts breaking AEW down. I'm like, how do you even know all this stuff? It just started.
Yeah.
It's like, I live with you, dummy. I'm like, oh, yeah.
She listens to Smarks and Stripes.
She absolutely does.
And thank you all so much for listening to Smarks and Stripes. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast provider. Give us those good reviews. Give us those 5 stars. My name is Bill Matz for Turtle. Have a great week, everybody.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.